Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the jungle out there. It's a jungle out there, and of course, the animals are all out to get the king of the jungle, Donald Trump. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's intriguing to Michael Savage is tonight's debate, of course, the big news. And of all places, the most anti-American and the most anti-conservative network is running the debate with two of the biggest losers in the media as moderators. The Crescent News Network, as I've called it for years, laughably went to some of Hollywood's lowest slime and asked them what questions they would ask the Republicans tonight. So they approach the softcore porn stars Sharon Stone and Susan Sarandon, who in their heyday were softcore porn. Then they ask male and heterosexual America haters, what questions would you ask the Republicans tonight? Now, the real question should be, why is Hillary not debating anyone? Why is she being hidden from the American people? Why is Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz hiding Hillary? What is she covering up? And so I ask you, my audience, both in America and around the world who are listening to the Savage Nation, welcome to the show, by the way, what questions would you ask Hillary Clinton if we could get her to come out from hiding? It's all well and good that the Republicans are debating openly. And, of course, the reason they're debating with these two loser moderators is because the Republicans picked them to undermine any conservative elements within the candidates and aim all their guns at Donald Trump. But he will smash them tonight, there's no question. Here are some of the questions I would ask Hillary Clinton, and I invite you to call 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, with your questions for Hillary Clinton. One, Mrs. Clinton, are you ashamed for having unleashed the refugee crisis in Europe? Two, Mrs. Clinton, do you regret having orchestrated the sacking of Benghazi, Libya? Three, Mrs. Clinton, are you embarrassed and would you return some of the hundreds of millions of dollars funneled into the Clinton Library? Now, to all of my dear listeners in America and around the world, what questions would you ask Hillary Clinton if she were forced to debate? And as you're calling me, I have to tell you, a new story came out that confirms everything I've been writing about for over 21 years, broadcasting about for 21 years, talking about for 21 years, one bestseller after another trying to defend our borders, our language, and our culture. The data is in. Elusive crime wave data shows frightening toll of illegal immigrant criminals. This just came out on Fox News this morning. It's astounding. Trump is 100% right. You see, the federal government can tell you how many Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islanders stole a car, or the precise number of American Indian or Alaska Natives who were arrested for vagrancy, or how many whites were busted for counterfeiting in any given year. But the corrupt, illegitimate government agencies that crunch crime numbers are utterly unable or unwilling to pinpoint for the public how many illegal immigrants are arrested within U.S. borders each year. We have the answers for you, and you'll find out that these murders and these rapes, these kidnappings, are not happening in a vacuum. I have the numbers for you. You'll not believe the answers. Now, for years, in my books, my best-selling books, by the way, I have talked about the fact that approximately 30% of all of our prisoners are illegal aliens who were put there not for breaking into the country, but for committing really big felonies. Well, the data shows what kind of felonies they're producing. And what we're seeing going on in Europe, where all hell is breaking loose from the Muslim invasion, we have seen an invasion in this country go on, starting with Bill Clinton, and now metastasizing under Barack Obama. And now Obama wants to bring in at least 100,000 Muslim refugees into the USA to add to the hordes coming in from Central America. Refugees are rioting and attacking police in Hungary, screaming Allah Akbar. It's a Muslim invasion. Breaking through into Europe, a Muslim invasion. At the same time that the Muslim invasion goes on, and we are facing our own invasion here in America, now to add insult to injury, the illegitimate president wants to admit with the stroke of a pen, going around the people and Congress, 100,000 refugees from Syria, from Africa, most of whom are Muslim. The country cannot take anymore. This country is at a breaking point. It is a jungle out there. We cannot survive in our own country if we permit this man, this maniac in the White House, to go against common sense and the will of the people. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. The government will not give you the data of illegal immigrant criminals. You won't find it anywhere else but on Fox News, just published. And the data is real. They didn't make it up. I know the stoners will say, well, it's Fox News, therefore you can eliminate it. No, there's actual data. Statistics show that the estimated, they say 12 million illegal immigrants in the U.S., that's nonsense. There's at least 30 million by my estimate. They account for 13.6% of all offenders sentenced for crimes committed in the U.S., 12% of murder sentences, 20% of kidnapping sentences, 16% of drug trafficking sentences are meted out to illegal aliens. Did you hear that? There are approximately 2.1 million illegal aliens or legal immigrants with criminal convictions living free or behind bars in the U.S. Each year, according to ICE, 900,000 legal and illegal immigrants are arrested. 900,000. 700,000 are released from jail, prison, or probation. ICE estimates there are more than 1.2 million criminal illegal aliens at large in the United States running around. This is a nightmare. It's out of control. Remember my motto, borders, language, culture. How many bestsellers have I written with that theme? My last one was Stop the Coming Civil War, the one that Obama has initiated on this nation. A silent civil war, a non-shooting civil war, a war on white police, a war on middle class, a war on our government, a war on our language, a war on our culture. You think he's going to stop? No, he's not going to stop. The people have to rise up and stop him. And I must tell you, at the risk of offending some of you out there, that my forthcoming book, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture, lays out the final and last best chance to stop this invasion before we become a minority expunged from our own nation. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's go back to the debate. They've got you again flummoxed. They got you asking yourself, what questions would you ask the Republicans? They turn to softcore aging porn stars like Susan Sarandon. She hasn't been hot since 1971. Sharon Stone hasn't been hot since 1941. And they ask them, what questions would you ask the Republicans? Like they suddenly have any real questions. Now, the real question is, why are there no Democrat debates? After all, the Republicans, for all of their flaws, debate. There are many candidates. Don't you Democrats wonder why there are no debates on your side? Well, it's simple, because the more they see that old criminal hag, the less she's liked. Every time she opens up her mouth, people see who she is and they don't like her. So she's protected by the worst sort of human being, that Brooklynite, whatever her name is, Wasserwoman Schultz, the type of woman who made me leave New York in 1970, whenever I left. I fled New York in 1968 because of women like Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz. Unfortunately, they're now running the Democrat Party, lock, stock, and two barrels. And Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz refuses to permit Hillary Clinton to debate anyone. Why? Because Hillary Clinton has too much to lose. Every time she opens her mouth, her poll numbers drop. What questions would you ask Hillary Clinton if you could get her to answer a question? I'm asking you a question. We're also going to talk about the astounding lack of justice in San Francisco. The BS stories in this city are amazing. Remember the case we touched on yesterday about a venture capitalist with political ties who was arrested for allegedly striking his girlfriend more than 100 times over a 30-minute period in his apartment, and a home security video recorded the entire incident, and a judge, can you believe there's a judge in San Francisco who would throw out the evidence, and the guy walks? Can you believe this? Because they hired Willie Brown to cover the case. $1 million was given to Willie Brown. Oh, he returned most of it, yes. We understand that, because he's just so above it all. But this guy who allegedly beat her, hitting her over 100 times, walked. Well, I called my attorney Daniel Horowitz about this, and he has some very interesting observations about this judge and about how the law was violated by the judge and by the defense, and we'll cover that. And for your edification, we're getting the real journalists, not the copycats from the Chronicle who I had on yesterday, but the real journalists who actually broke this story by doing the real journalistic work, the real reporter from the Wall Street Journal who did the hard work and discovered the emails, which shows the trail of injustice in San Francisco. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Shortest Straw. Shortest Straw has been pulled for you. What a song. You know, I've always loved Metallica, and I've used some of their pieces for bumpers since 1994. But if you look at the song meaning of The Shortest Straw, you realize what great poets these guys are. You can easily underestimate musicians and dismiss them, but they are the poets of our time. And this song, Shortest Straw, speaks for what we're dealing with now. We, the American people, have drawn the shortest straw imaginable in having this illegitimate man foisted upon us who is trying to destroy our way of life as rapidly as he possibly can. Illegal aliens, crime wave, the fraud of global warming, flooding us with Muslims, flooding. Now, why do I say Muslims? Because tell me where they've integrated well. And tell me, moreover, why Muslim nations won't take the Syrian refugees. If they're all such sterling characters, why is Saudi Arabia refusing to take them in? Why have they put military equipment on the border? Why will they not let them into Saudi Arabia? They sit with 100,000 air-conditioned tents in the desert of Saudi Arabia, and they will not take one Syrian refugee. And we, the morons who have pulled the shortest straw, and I will tell you why. I'll tell you why in Europe they're rioting to keep them out, and why we're doing nothing here. We have been deballed. We have been debased. We have been intimidated. The vermin in the media, the vermin in the legal professions have intimidated us from standing up for our own rights. We won't even stand up for our borders, language, and culture. I'd like to be in front of a stadium with 100,000 people. And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to have you rush to the border. If you have to, rush to the border and say that's the end of the road. Just push the government out of the way and defend ourselves. Because the government is killing us. The government will destroy us. The government is stealing our nation from us. The shortest straw. The shortest straw. Take a look at who they put in charge. Take a look at this man. Look at this man and what he's done to this country and what he wants to do to the country. And look at the moron, the drug addicts, the morons. Look at the moronic drug addicts who like it just fine or don't even know what this man is doing to this country. So I ask you, as I'm going to watch a debate tonight, all of us will watch it, who have a brain. We'll see them try to gang up on Trump. We'll see the unrated talk show host, who's always been a wannabe, from an unrated network, try to undermine him again with some idiotic, arcane question. And of course, we'll see Jake Tapper, who has the brains of a woodpecker, who's eaten foul nuts, ask moronic questions. Stooges of the RNC. Stooges of the Republican National Committee. Who do you think set this thing up? Lance Priebus, the Club for Growth, the Better Business Bureau, Microsoft, who ran the last debate to get cheap labor? Yeah, Zuckerberg, Mr. Pockmark Face, Mr. Undershirt, for whom there's not enough money in the world. For whom there can never be enough money and never low enough wages. The psychopaths, all of them. They set up the last debate. Microsoft, you didn't see the big M on the stage? Facebook, I got that right. Facebook, that's why there was an F on the screen, along with the Fox News. The F stood for Facebook, who wants as many cheap laborites as they can get. Facebook, they don't want to pay American workers fair price. They want to bring them in from India. They want to bring them in from anywhere on earth to displace American IT workers. I'm surprised there haven't been riots in this country. But I'm not surprised when you consider how handcuffed we all are with fear that we'll be arrested, we'll lose our homes, we'll lose our dignity, We'll lose our names and our reputation by the fascist police state erected under Barack Obama and the legal eagles who are ready to strike the minute we do anything that protects us. How come they're not afraid in Europe? How come they're rioting in Europe to keep the Muslims out? How come they know what will happen to their country? How come even liberal Denmark said no to the Muslims? Why? Because they know that they're a small country and they will lose their identity. They'll lose their national identity. You cannot bring in a culture of people who see the world in such a different way that they will fight with you every day of the week. No alcohol? Are you kidding me? No alcohol in Denmark? No alcohol in Germany? That's what's going to happen. You've got a Muslim flight attendant suing right now saying she suddenly converted and she will not serve alcohol on an airplane. Well, why'd she take the job? She doesn't like it. Let her go fly for Emirates Air. This is what I mean by the legal profession, the lowest of the low, that they will sell their country down the river. They'll stab the military in the back. They don't care. Their agenda is prominent. So who is the only one we have to hope for? Donald Trump. That's why everyone's out to get him. As I said, he wants to make America great again. That's the logo on his hats. And look at this 10th-rate failed academic, Bernie Sanders, surging against Hillary, whose slogan should be, Make America Hate Again. That's right. Bernie Sanders should put out hats.
Make America Hate Again. When I'm president, the taxes will be 125%.
That's Bernie Sanders, pitting black against white, Hispanic against white, gay against straight, straight against gay, man against woman. That's who's surging on the Democrat side. Make America hate again, Bernie.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
I think people can trust me to fight for them and to fight for their families. I have a long track record of standing up and really working hard to help people solve their problems, to have better lives.
We got the story.
We have a
Republican debate tonight. And whether you're a Democrat or an independent, whether you hate Donald Trump because he stands for America and you hate America, or you're confused, you don't know what to think, one thing you have to observe, she won't debate anyone. What has she got to hide? That's the real issue today. That's why I took the counterpoint. Anyone could talk about, I could have done this show.
What would you ask Donald Trump or the other candidates tonight if you were on the debate, if you were the moderator?
That's sort of radio 101. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you something else, which is what the American people should be asking. Why is it that the number one candidate on a Democrat, Socialist, Islamist ticket, known as the Democrat Party, being blocked from debating anyone? Why is there no competition inside the Democrat Party? What has she got to hide? So I invited you to call this program. And the lines, of course, are jammed. People are furious that they won't ask one question of Hillary Clinton. So let's begin with some of the callers. In North Carolina, WAAV Radio. Sean, what would you ask Hillary Clinton?
Oh, my question would be, her last campaign was based on a 2 a.m. phone call, and we all see how she handled that during Benghazi. She watched it on closed-circuit TV and then came up with a lie that it was a movie that started all that. What could she tell me to convince me that that's not going to happen if she's elected?
That'd okay, good question. Let's move on. 30 seconds or less. I'm not going to belabor this. Let's go to New York City. Rick, WABC, you're on the Savage Nation. If you could get Hillary Clinton to come out from hiding, if you can get Debbie Wasserman Schultz to get out of the way and stop being the fishwife that she is, and get this candidate of the Democrats to debate another Democrat, what would you ask her, Rick? Go ahead, please.
I would just simply ask her, Hillary, why do you always find yourself at the center of controversy and adversity? And I just put it to her very bluntly and see what her answer was.
I could give you the answer. It's an easy one. The Republicans are causing the controversy because I'm such a great champion of poor, the women, gays, minorities, and immigrants.
Exactly.
There's the answer. That's the one that Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all the lawyers with big glasses and curly hair in New York would write. All the boys who went to NYU who grew up on Red Diaper Dopa Baby Doxy, all those who went to communist summer camps in the Poconos and learned to hate the American flag, all the boys that went to Harvard and then went out to destroy America as quickly as they could. Let's go to the next caller, WJR in Detroit, one of the great big signals. Shane on WJR. What's on your mind, Shane?
What I would ask Hillary is, with your husband's history of sexual assault, your complicity in participating in destroying his victims, how do you find the nerve to act as if you're an advocate for sexual abuse victims?
You know, I got to laugh because these questions are quite poignant. Wouldn't you love to see Hillary debating? Okay, who would be on the stand? I don't know. Okay, you've got the commie Bernie Sanders, the man with the crumpled suit who looks like a failed community college teacher from Hoboken, New Jersey, with a tuna fish stain on his lapel. Okay, so he'd be up there. They'd have to get him a phone book to stand on, but he'd be there. Then there'd be this guy O'Malley. I don't even know who he is, but he'd be up there. He's making noise that he wants to run. Then they'd get old Joe Biden to stand up there. I'm sure he could tell a few jokes and make some embarrassing statements. So let's say there's 3-4 people up there. Who else could they get? Maybe Dick Gephardt wants to run. I think he's still around. Al Gore could be up there. I'm sure he'd like to be president. Look how far he's gotten with the global warming racket. They could get another Democrat up there. Somebody, I don't know. There'd be someone. Let's have a vigorous debate. Let's show the American people we've got nothing to hide. And I'd love to hear the questions like this being asked. So let's see what the other people who've called the show would ask. And I like the way I'm doing it. 15 seconds, 20. Ron, WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, what would you ask Hillary Clinton if she was available for debate?
Yeah, I'd ask her if Monica Lewinsky would be setting a new standard for women, and does she support that standard?
I don't quite get it. I mean, that's supposed to be sarcastic. I don't think it makes it. WABC Lewis, what would you ask Hillary Clinton if you could?
Yes, Michael, I would ask her to play the kindergarten game, which they did to the Republicans, and raise your hand if you would nominate and stand back any Democratic presidential nominee other than.
All right, thanks for the call. When I hear someone say, "What would you ask her?" That's the end of it. He never should have gotten on. I mean, we need a minimal amount of, let's say, articulate callers. Jim, hello, Jim. Michael to Jim. If someone says axe, don't put him on the show. The only axe I want to hear is Axel from Guns N' Roses. Let's play Axel from Guns N' Roses on the Savage Nation while we're getting people to axe some questions that they would ask Hillary Clinton. And I'm going to blow the topic off in a minute and go on to something else. Just play heavy metal and no questions and no talk. That's the level of political debate in America. Could you imagine CNN going to the old porn star Sharon Stone and asking her what she would ask the Republicans? Is astounding. Or Susan Sarandon, a piece of guava on the jungle floor that rotted 30 years ago. It's not only newly fallen guava on the jungle floor. Susan Sarandon is guava that fell to the jungle floor 30 years ago and rotted 30 years ago. They go to her now and ask her what she'd ask them. Why don't you just ask Dustin Hoffman what they'd ask the Republicans tonight? They could probably get him out of a stupor. That's how far it's gone. So what would you like to talk about? Debbie, WJR, what would you ask Hillary Clinton?
I'd ask her why just a few years ago when she was a senator, how she was totally against illegal aliens and how she said that our company should not hire them. You played the clip, remember?
I do.
Yeah, I'd ask her that, why all of a sudden now she's so for them when before she said she was against them.
Well, the answer is obvious, because without the illegal aliens, the Democrats have no chance of winning. So could you imagine that the Crescent News Network goes to Jane Fonda, Mark Cuban, I guess he calls himself Cuban, Bill Nye, the fake weatherman, Bill Kristol, the fake Republican, Susan Sarandon, guava on the jungle floor, Sharon Stoner, and questions they would ask the Republican candidates. And by the way, to make matters worse, Obama warns GOP debaters. He came out today warning them. I don't think we have the sound yet. Obama came out and attacked all the Republicans, saying there's nothing patriotic about talking down America. You hear this? Here's a man who ran America off the road, took the wheels off the nation's truck, and the creature says that there's nothing particularly patriotic about their rhetoric. Can you get the sound, Robert? I'm sure you can get it. It's on CNN. Here's what your president said. Despite the perennial doom and gloom that I guess is inevitably part of a presidential campaign, look what he's thought, like he's above it. America is winning right now, Obama said, at a meeting of the Business Roundtable today in Washington. America is great right now. We can do even better. It's great right now? Are you sure? And he goes on to say, you wouldn't know any of this if you were listening to the folks seeking this office that I occupy. Well, that's a loaded statement. Occupy. That's about all you're doing, Obama, is occupying the office. You're like a member of Occupy, the Occupy movement. He goes on, the great leader, and says, in the echo chamber that is presidential politics, everything is dark and everything is terrible. They don't seem to offer many solutions to the disasters they perceive, but they're quick to tell you who is to blame. Well, Mr. Obama, you're wrong. Barack Obama, you're wrong. They're offering many solutions to the disasters that you have created. Donald Trump wants to build a wall with Mexico. That's a solution. Donald Trump agrees with Michael Savage that we need tariffs on goods coming from China in order to bolster American industry. That's a solution. Then Obama goes on to say, there's nothing particularly patriotic or American about talking down America, especially when we stand as one of the few sources of economic strength in the world. That's another lie. We are an economic midget. The reason we're being outmaneuvered by China is because Congress has sold us down the river to China and Mexico. If we were to put tariffs on Mexican goods, for example, if we were to I'll give you another solution that I had in one of my previous books, and it's not an off-the-wall, you know, just throw a bomb out there to see what happens idea. Let's say we have 30 million illegals in America. Remember in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, I said to you that we should demand that Mexico give us one barrel of oil for every illegal alien in America per day. I'd say make it every month. Mexico's rolling in oil. We don't have to import oil. That would be 30 million barrels of oil a month or a day or a week, whatever you want, in order to compensate us for the high cost of housing, feeding, clothing, medicating illegal aliens, schooling them. That's 30 million barrels of oil. We wouldn't have to import any oil. That's a solution. So we're going to get that sound for you on the Savage Nation so you could hear the great leader trying to attack the Republicans before their debate without he himself debating anybody, anywhere, anytime, without Hillary Clinton coming out from behind the shadow of the fishwife, Debbie Wasserman, Schultz. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. And I ask myself, I see these Vikings with tattoos, stoned out of their minds, dancing to Metallica. And I ask, why don't they defend their nation from the invasion? Why don't they riot? Why don't they throw their leaders where they belong, which is in prison? I ask, where are our muscular people in America? Why are we not fighting back? How do we let these anti-Americans do this to us? Now, tonight the debate is happening. And if I were Trump's advisor, I would tell him, don't debate. See, this is what I would do. I'd pull a reverse maneuver. He would gain more traction by not showing up and having an empty spot than by being there and being ripped apart by the Lilliputians. The Lilliputians are going to tear him apart. He'll do very well, but he would do better to not even show up. He would say, I'm now the leader with a 32% rating. I'm bigger than all of them. I'm not going to be fall into the trap of the liberals, the liberals set up for me, and let my own party tear me apart. Let them tear each other apart. And that's the end of it. I would say, don't go, Donald. You don't need him. You're doing well without him, but we're not at that point. So now CNN is hosting the debate because the RNC wants Donald torn apart. They want Donald torn apart for obvious reasons. The conservative grassroots love Donald Trump. The conservative grassroots know that Hillary Clinton won't debate because she's got too much to hide. So CNN now makes a parody of themselves and they say, what would celebrities ask? What would Jane Fonda ask? What would Bill Nye, the fake weatherman, ask? What would Sharon Stoner ask? And they go to these unknown people. I don't know who they are. Some of them I do. They ask Jane Fonda, what would you ask the Republicans tonight? Why don't you ask Jane Fonda what you'd ask Hillary Clinton? So Hanoi Jane, who consorted with the enemy, causing many deaths and many prisoners of war in Vietnam, collaborating with the enemy is a crime, by the way. Here's what she'd ask. In an age where ISIS is raping women and selling them on the slave blocks, here's what this crazy woman would ask. Quote, almost 100 years after women secured the right to vote in 1920 through the 19th Amendment, we still do not have equal rights under the Constitution. You hear this? My question for the GOP candidates, do you support the Equal Rights Amendment? I say liberalism is a mental disorder. Here's Stephen King, novelist. If it's okay to register cars and license drivers, why is it not okay to impose similar legal responsibilities on gun owners? Stephen King has always been insane, in my opinion. Stephen King is the crazy characters in his own book. Stephen King is the madman that he writes about. Gary Bauer, former GOP presidential candidate, president of American Values. I don't know who he is. I can't even ask. The question's too long. Here, look who they go to now. Russell Simmons, a hip-hopper. And here, naturally, it's about people of color. Not about slaves in the Middle East. Not about the burning of Christian churches. Not about the real questions facing us, such as... Well, here's what Simmons asks. He says, a large portion of American citizens, especially people of color, have lost confidence in our criminal justice system. Many have called for appointing special prosecutors when a police officer kills or injures a civilian. Really? How about a special prosecutor when a black man kills a white cop, Russell? He goes on and says, if you were elected president, would you publicly support special prosecutors in these cases? And what is one other thing you would do to fix our broken justice system? Okay. Now, here's Susan Sarandon now, they ask. Given this march, the World Health Organization announced that the main chemical in Monsanto's Roundup is probably carcinogenic to humans. And given that Roundup is still sprayed on corn and soy grown in this country, what is your stance on regulating the use of the herbicide to ensure it's not giving Americans cancer? Susan, why don't you ask about the spray of radical Islam across the globe, you moron, you. Glenn Beck, they ask. Glenn Beck, a psycho. Glenn Beck is the craziest man in the history of the media. A man who used his hemorrhoids to increase his popularity. A man who faked an illness to take a holiday. A man who comes back and says any member of the Tea Party who supports Trump is a racist. You hear this? They ask this moron a question. If the average citizen thinks God has nothing to do with government, who then creates their rights and what makes them inalienable? Oh, come on. He's got the Mormon church behind him. That's why he's anywhere to begin with. And I happen to like Mormons, but I really don't like Glenn Beck very much. I think he's a fraud from the day he started. He is the Margot of talk radio. He's the Margot of the media. A shyster. A tent operator.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're supposed to be advancing progress, accelerating it. And if our leaders can put common sense over ideology and the good of the country before the good of the party, then we'll do just fine. Despite the perennial doom and gloom that I guess is inevitably part of a presidential campaign, America's winning right now.
Winning what?
America's great right now.
America's a loser. It's a basket case because of you. So CNN is running the debate tonight. Can you believe this? Now you say, how did the Republicans let that happen? That's because they wanted it to happen. They want Trump taken down. And if I were advising Donald Trump, it would be don't debate. Don't even go there. The empty chair would speak louder than would you being there, being attacked by the Lilliputians. But look, I'm not advising Donald Trump. I'm not part of his kitchen cabinet, so to speak. That's the big news. The most anti-American and most anti-conservative network is running the debate with two of the biggest losers in the media as moderators. Now, to make matters worse, the CNN geniuses went to some of Hollywood's lowest slime and asked them what questions they would ask the Republicans. They ask ex-softcore porn stars, male metrosexuals, America haters, invasion supporters to ask their questions. So I said to you, the real question should be, why is Hillary not debating anyone? Why is she being hidden from the American public? What has she got to hide? And I pose to you, the audience of this show, what questions would you ask Hillary Clinton if you could get her to come out from hiding? There are no open lines, unfortunately. But I want to show you who they went to at CNN. Sharon Stone. And, you know, if you want an example of liberalism as a mental disorder, listen to the question Sharon Stone would ask during a time when Christian churches are being burned, Christians are being killed through genocide in the Middle East by Muslims, young girls are being raped and sold into slavery. Listen to what this mentally disordered individual would ask. Our nation is faced with all manner of heartbreak and chaos that needs our urgent attention. So why are many of you focused on reopening resolved issues like a woman's right to choose, the reality of Obamacare as law, and America's long-standing tradition on immigration? My question, if you must go back into these issues, what would you do to resolve the new problems caused by the destruction of settled lua and on-the-ground reality? Please pick one of these issues and answer specifically. That's Sharon Stone's idea of a question at a time when girls are being sold into slavery. Let's see, there are others they asked. David Frum, former speechwriter for George Sellout Bush. Please describe the most recent case when somebody other than your spouse brought you bad news about something you had done in your public life. What was the news? What kind of stupid question is that? Then they ask the half of a comedy team from Las Vegas what question they would ask. Here's a good one from Tina Brown, media entrepreneur. She says, I want to hear about what your cabinet would look like. Donald Trump has said, for example, Carl Icahn would negotiate with China and Japan, and that Sarah Palin would be at the Department of Energy. What would your cabinet look like? Who would you choose and for what reason? Why don't you ask Hillary Clinton the same question, Tina, the next time you have lunch with her? Here's William Crystal, a long-standing sellout. His question's idiotic. I don't want to ask it. Tony Robbins, I don't understand why they'd ask him. A comedian, Kathy Griffin. Here's a dumb question. Ready? For Donald Trump, I know you're against the Iran nuclear deal. I'm curious to know if you can name the negotiators who were at the table working out the deal other than John Kerry. Can you name 10, 5, 4? You hear this? This is our idea of intelligence. A Yenta from Brooklyn, who they gave a man tan to and a big lipstick job. You hear? That's a question you should ask. For Dr. Ben Carson, this Yenta would ask, for Dr. Ben Carson, can you name 3 ways the Republican Party has helped the African-American community in your lifetime? Hey, Kathy, let me tell you something. Your parents' politics stank then, and that your parents' politics stink now. Wake up. Girls are being killed in the Middle East, moron. Felix Sanchez, chairman and co-founder of the National Hispanic Foundation for the Arts. I don't even want to read it. Dean Cain, actor? Who is he? I heard of Cain and Abel. Who's Dean Cain? All right, let's see what he has to say. Ronald Reagan advocated peace through strength and said we shouldn't trust but verify. Considering the challenges facing the United States now, these quotes seem more relevant than ever. With the civil war in Syria, the rise of ISIS, Russian aggression in Ukraine, and its new activity in Syria, the current administration plans to cut 40,000 soldiers from the military over the next 2 years and has crafted a controversial nuclear deal with Iran. As Commander-in-Chief, what are your plans for the future of the United States military, and what are your thoughts on a nuclear deal with Iran? Very good question. I don't know who Dean Cain is, but that's a very good question. Then they ask a cookbook chef to ask a question. Given the demonstrated role of rebel groups like the Lord's Resistance Army and the Janjaweed in the illegal ivory trade across Central Africa, what would you do as president to help secure the region from criminal poaching syndicates? Now, I support elephant rights activists. I support anti-poaching activity myself. But to me, it's not the biggest problem. It's the poaching of American jobs, Katie. It's the poaching of American industrial might, Katie. It's the poaching of America's dignity, Katie. It's the poaching of the flag, Katie. It's the poaching of our borders, Katie. It's the poaching of welfare by illegal aliens, Katie. It's the poaching of our language, Katie. It's the poaching of our culture, Katie. Here's another moron, a comedian, Fred Willard, never heard of him. President Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Why would the U.S. build one? Can't figure that one out, Fred? I think you should be behind four walls with a straitjacket if you can't answer that question. Well, you get the picture. It's all an anti-Trump night. I hope Donald can take it. I would advise him not to even be there. It should be an empty chair. Just an empty chair and let the others go at each other. Because I remember what happened during the last Republican go-arounds. That lout, Newt Gingrich, ripped Romney to pieces. And everything that Newt Gingrich, that evil man, did to tear down Romney was then used by the Democrats in the debates, in the final debates. Romney was destroyed by Newt Gingrich. And then, of course, he threw the two of the three debates. Romney won the first debate. He made Obama look like what he was and what he is. And then Romney was told to take a flop. Just take a fall. We can't have you win. But that's water under the bridge. So right now, Trump is winning because he speaks from the heart. He's not reading a script. He will make America great again. He will build a wall. He will out-trade China. He will rebuild the military. He will decimate ISIS in 24 hours. He will stop the flood of illegal aliens coming in from south of the border. He will stop the flood of Muslims being brought in by Obama from Syria. And now the morons on CNN are saying, new poll puts Trump and Carson neck to neck. That's absurd. They're not neck to neck. The reason they're pitting Carson against Trump is to make it a racial issue. That's what communist slime do. So I ask you, the American people, before we go to our break, what would you ask Hillary Clinton, the invisible candidate? What would you ask Mama Clinton that she's not answering anyone? And remember, at 30 minutes after the hour, we have the Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Elder to talk about a miscarriage of justice in San Francisco unlike any I've ever seen in my lifetime. This is the Savage Nation. Let's have some heavy metal on the way out the door over there. Any one of the good ones that we have. I like Metallica a lot.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
In the echo chamber, that is presidential politics, everything is dark and everything is terrible. They don't seem like to offer many solutions for the disasters that they perceive, but they're quick to tell you who to blame. Mm-hmm. I'm here to say that there's nothing particularly patriotic or American about talking down America, especially when we stand as one of the few sources of economic strength.
The most anti-American imaginable is occupying the highest office in the land, trying to tell the Republicans what to say tonight. So the real question is, what would you ask Hillary Clinton if you could get her to stop hiding from a debate? Let's go to Al on WABC. Al, what would you ask Hillary if you could get her to come out from hiding?
Hello, Dr. Savage. Well, during her early years, when she was working on the Watergate Commission, why was she relentlessly pursuing Nixon and his administration for the tapes and what he was trying to hide in his administration, including the missing minutes, what they were trying to hide? Why won't she give up the emails and what she's trying to hide? And why is there such a hypocrisy and contradiction to that?
Very good question, Al. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture, due out next month. We'll get you an early copy of this next bestseller. You'll get one of the first of the first printing, I'll tell you that, because by the time it hits the stores, it'll be a second printing. They're printing 150,000 copies. They know what's coming. I know what's coming. I know what's coming. Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. Who has been preaching this message since 1994? Michael Savage. This is why I wrote this last book. It's my magnum opus. I want to go back to the questions you would ask Hillary Clinton, because this is a very serious issue, of why we are not seeing any vigorous debate in the Communist Party, Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party is more accurately descriptive of the Democrat Party today. Democrat socialist, Islamist party will not hold debates because they are a dictatorship. You look at San Francisco, dictatorship. You look at Sacramento, dictatorship. One party rule. This is the model that they like, the model of the ex-Soviet Union, where the people are ruled by a group of corrupt, money-grubbing, so-called leaders. What question would you ask Hillary Clinton if she'd come out from hiding? WMAL, Washington, D.C., Joe. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation. What would you ask Hillary if you can get her to answer?
My question would be, Madam Secretary, how do you sleep at night knowing that your failed policies in the Middle East, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, and in Yemen have resulted in the kidnapping and raping of tens of thousands of young girls throughout the Middle East and in the slaughtering of hundreds of thousands? Madam Secretary, how do you sleep at night?
Joe, that's very articulate. I can see why CNN didn't ask you to ask a question tonight. Stay in the line. You're going to go on the list for a free copy of Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. Keep him on the line so we can get that book out. Then did you hang up on him? No, there he is. He's right there. We have time for a few more questions. Let's go to KVOR Radio. David, welcome. What would you ask Hillary Clinton if you get her to stop hiding?
Hillary, the day after the Kentucky clerk was jailed for failing to issue gay marriage licenses, you came out and offered praise, high praise, and admonition for the officials to continue doing their job. I ask you now, will you offer that same praise and admonition for the officials looking into the email scandal, Benghazi, the Clinton Foundation, and other things that may be percolating out there?
So what's the crux of the question?
Well, I want to know if she would offer praise to the people who are investigating her.
David, you win a copy of Government Zero. Stay on the line. Well, everyone's asking about the rape of girls in the Middle East, and no one's even asking that question of the Republicans of what they would do to stop ISIS, how long it would take them to stop this this rampage of the Islamofascists. Okay? WABC, Patrick, what would you ask Hillary Clinton if she come out from under the rock?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I would ask the one question with the most common issue that's bogging down her shoot for the nomination, and that would be about the email scandal. It'll be Secretary Clinton, having all the political experience that you've had and being through all the jobs that you've had and having the high security clearance that you've had, I would imagine you've had great training on standard operating procedures as it pertains to emails. Knowing this and the Freedom of Information Act laws that exist, you're using the one thing to say that you're saying these emails were classified after the fact as your defense. Well, having all that training and having that classified, knowing that they vet your emails after the fact, emails are sent.
All right, so wait, we're getting confused, Patrick. Make the question simple. You're getting one shot to ask Hillary Clinton the question. Make it a one-sentence question.
Secretary Clinton, having the training that you've had and security clearances that you've had, your defense is that these emails were classified after the fact. Knowing that these are vetted after the fact through the because of Freedom of Information Act laws, why would you use that as a defense, knowing that every single...
All right. In other words, knowing the law, why would you break the law? The answer is that's what I do for a living. That's how my husband and I have gotten where we are. So that's very good, Patrick. Stay in the line. We'll get you a copy of Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. Remember, coming up at the bottom of the hour is the Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Elder, to give us an update on the San Francisco miscarriage of justice case that is being talked about across the country. How could videotape of a beating of a woman, the alleged beating of a woman, recorded on security cameras, how could such videotape be dismissed by a judge? How is it even possible? That's what people are asking. Why is there no federal investigation? We would ask, why hasn't the state moved in since it's an alleged case of domestic abuse? Do you know that if a cop is even accused of domestic abuse, they lose the right to carry a gun? Here is a guy who was allegedly caught on camera beating a woman over a 30-minute period, and the case was thrown out. What does that tell you? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about a country that has such a system of justice? My attorney, Dan Horowitz, says, bottom line, if you are rich and have powerful friends, you get away with violent crime. If you're one of my black clients, says Dan Horowitz in Oakland, you get thrown in Santa Rita and do more time waiting for trial than this guy Shalal got for a major violent attack. Well, tonight's the debates. We'll continue more about that. But remember, Wall Street Journal, Jeff Elden, when I come back right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Well, we're going to take a detour from the presidential debates tonight and look at another subject that came up this week about a venture capitalist with political ties who was accused or allegedly, well, he was originally charged in August 2013 with 45 felony accounts after San Francisco prosecutors alleged he struck his girlfriend more than 100 times over a 30-minute period in his apartment. And yet a judge in San Francisco, that's an oxymoron, ruled that the tape, the home security video, was inadmissible. Jeff Elder of the Wall Street Journal did the hard work on this. Mr. Elder, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael.
Why was it that these videotapes were considered inadmissible? Because my lawyer says that they are admissible.
So the police officers on the scene took the video camera system from the apartment before they had a warrant, and the judge ruled that they were inadmissible for the case for that reason, which hurt the case a great deal.
Right. No, I understand what the ruling was, but Dan Horowitz says that there are cases where such evidence is very much admissible, even if the police sees it, because they know that it's going to be erased if they don't.
Okay, so that ruling was not really what my story was about, and I agree that that was a much disputed thing. But
okay, so what was the story really? Do you, Jeff, do you feel, having done this story, that there was a miscarriage of justice?
Well, as a reporter, I don't really have an opinion on that. What my story was about was new documents that came to light that some powerful political figures were discussing how to help this entrepreneur with his domestic violence case. And
okay,
with something that hadn't been uncovered before. So there was a venture capitalist who was a big fundraiser for President Obama in both campaigns, and a former Speaker of the Assembly of California and San Francisco mayor, who apparently were involved in trying to help this suspect in this domestic violence case.
Mm-hmm. What has happened since your article was published? Have there been any calls for a federal follow-up or any other additional investigation, or it's over?
I am not aware of any calls for a federal follow-up. That's an interesting question. The U.S. attorney could ultimately be someone who would look into this. The attorney general for the state of California does have ties to a couple of the figures in this story, Kamala Harris, who's sort of protege of Willie Brown, who was involved in this story. So that's an interesting question, but I haven't heard anything about that.
Just one note, Dan Horowitz, who's a criminal defense attorney, he said, I cannot challenge the judge throwing the videotapes out. That is his call. He said that the law is clear, though. If the recordings would inevitably have been discovered anyway, suppression is not the remedy. Why didn't the SF prosecutors raise that issue and, if necessary, take the issue to the Court of Appeals? So that's just a legalese thing that I know nothing about. I am very interested in the article because I knew nothing of the case until it appeared in the SF Gate when Mateer and Ross picked up on your story and ran with it. And Phil Mateer was on the show yesterday, and he told us that you actually did the hard work. He said you did the digging of the emails. Can you tell us a little about that process, Jeff? Because people don't know how hard real journalism actually is. What did you have to do to get those emails?
I can't reveal my sources. Those emails were sort of the heart of the story, and what they showed was the extent to which some attorneys, investors, and political figures involved wanted to help this entrepreneur because an initial public offering was in the near future. And I think that's what created a lot of the response, was that there were some discussions on emails between attorneys, some big venture capitalists, and the office for a powerful politician about how to help sort of shape this case as it headed to the district attorney. It's important to point out that there is no evidence that the district attorney in any way yielded to any of this pressure, or even that the that any kind of official meetings took place. So the people that huddled on how to help Gervase Chahal in this legal situation apparently failed. In fact, there are emails in which some of the attorneys and the suspect expressed consternation with the district attorney. One attorney said that perhaps he should meet with some domestic violence. And
I saw that, Jeff. I cannot believe an attorney would say that about who he said he should meet domestic violence. Who said that?
So an attorney for the company involved said that the district attorney, and that did raise a lot of eyebrows. Mr. Chahal.
An attorney for the accused said that perhaps the DA should receive some domestic violence. God in heaven, I cannot believe an attorney could write a thing like that on an email and not lose his right to practice law in the state of California.
That definitely created a lot of comment, yeah, Michael. Another email from Mr. Chahal said he was going to create a super PAC in 2016 to try to push the district attorney out of office. So these are people who were major fundraisers, major campaign donors. Steve Wesley raised $500,000 in bundled donations for President Obama in both campaigns. Mr. Chahal, the suspect in the case, was also a major contributor to politicians. So that was not an empty kind of statement.
Hmm. Well, this is very interesting. I mean, before you go, Jeff, and I won't keep you. I know you're a man who prefers to write rather than speak. I recognize that. And I want to ask you a very important question for young people listening to this show about journalism. How many months did you devote to this story in the Wall Street Journal, Radium One Work to Save IPO Amid Scandal? How long did the story take you to do?
Well, I've covered Mr. Chahal's legal cases now for, I don't know, a year and a half. This particular story kind of took shape over the past 6 or 7 weeks, I guess.
That's all, huh? Is he still with? He was taken off the board right after this case was thrown out. Anyway, he was taken off the board.
So the case was not thrown out. He pleaded guilty to two misdemeanors and received 3 years of probation and a $500 fine. That sentence was protested a great deal in Silicon Valley. That protest caused the company to fire him. The company that he founded. So the mediation brief that yielded some of the documents that I had was because he got fired, and there had to be a separation mediation.
Hmm. Well, I hope they haven't threatened you with domestic violence. I'm not expecting an answer on that one. Well, this is politics in San Francisco, where, as Dan Horowitz wrote, if you're rich and have powerful friends, you can get away with violent crime. I mean, that's his opinion. And he says, if you're one of my black clients in Oakland, you get thrown in Santa Rita and do more time waiting for trial than this Shalal got for a major violent attack. Again, that's a defense attorney, not me, because he knows the law and I don't. I want to thank you, Jeff Elder, for taking time out for being with us today on the Savage Nation. Thank you very much from the Wall Street Journal. The time now is 42 minutes after the hour. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-407-282. If you get a comment about the debates, meaning what would you ask Hillary Clinton if you can get her to debate? Or if you want to talk, if you're a local or, let's say, a lawyer or a prosecutor, how do you feel about a case like this? A man being charged with 45 felony counts after prosecutors alleged he struck his girlfriend more than 100 times over a 30-minute period in his apartment, and that a judge rules that a home security video recording of the incident was seized without a warrant, and then he throws the tapes out as evidence. And then the alleged victim refuses to testify. Anybody want to comment on justice in the United States of America? Anybody want to comment on why there's such dissension amongst people at the bottom of the system, people without money? Anyone want to comment about the rich and the poor and the several tiers of our justice system? Anybody want to comment on all the good liberal politicians of San Francisco who are all oh so politically concerned about people on the bottom? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We have breaking news for you. A 15-year-old Danish girl who hooked up with a Muslim that she met at a refugee center, cut her mother's head off, after spending hours watching ISIS videos of the decapitations of the two British hostages, David Haynes and Alan Henning. Lisa Borsch, 15, planned to join ISIS in Syria with her Iraqi throwback boyfriend after the killing. Sentenced to 9 years in prison for murdering her mother. Danish court heard that the teen planned to join ISIS in Syria with her Iraqi boyfriend, Bakhtiar Mohammed Abdullah. His fingerprints were also found at the scene of the crime. She met Abdullah at a refugee center near her home. How's that for multiculturalism? How is that for the multiculturalism that the psychotic liberals are trying to foist upon the American public? WABC Mark, on the issue of the San Francisco case, I understand you're an attorney. Are those tapes admissible in your mind or not?
Unfortunately, legally speaking, I believe they are, although I think that, you know, the rest of the world would like them for not to be. It's his tapes. Under the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, unfortunately, the police need a warrant for those.
But wait, but Mark, my lawyer, Dan Horowitz, who's represented the young lady who was married to Mel Gibson, says the opposite is true. He said that the police, if the recordings would inevitably have been discovered anyway, suppression is not the remedy.
Well, unfortunately, I think the key fact in this case is that it was his. It belonged to him. It was his security cameras. It wasn't a public or belonging to somebody else.
But isn't it interesting how the average person listens to this and says, listen to lawyers arguing why what's black and white in front of people's eyes has to be thrown out even though it actually happened? Now we have laws that suppress actual visual evidence of a crime being committed?
Exactly. I think it's ridiculous. And you know something, to tie it in with the debate tonight, Donald Trump is the only candidate who has his own money and doesn't need to have other people in his pocket. This would never have happened if this guy didn't have politicians in his pocket.
And who guy? You mean the venture capitalist and his connection to the old girls network here in San Francisco?
Correct, and the prosecutor as well.
Okay, well, thanks for calling out of New York. I'd like to get Dan Horowitz on the show in the next hour. If Dan's listening, you can call him in for a few minutes to explain the law, because no one can believe this. You know, if a cop, for example, is tried for a crime and found innocent, tell me what happens next. Remember what happened in Ferguson? After the cop was found innocent, what did Eric Holder do? He brought the case against him in a federal court, right? Didn't he bring a case? He said, well, oh no, that we had a miscarriage of justice. We're going to try him again. Why is there no such maneuver here in a case like this? You say, well, the other one was a violation of civil rights of a black individual. Civil rights case, Justice Department. Well, to anyone looking at this, it looks like a civil rights case because a woman's rights were violated and that she was beaten, allegedly. And on videotape, and the tapes are thrown out? Now, it doesn't matter to me. I don't know any of these people personally. I have no axe to grind one way or the other. But what worries me is that when you have this level of lawlessness in a city where an illegal immigrant can kill Kate Steinle and then have the nerve to say he found the gun under a bench and it went off by itself, I can tell you as I sit here, the power players in this city are working behind the scenes to make sure that illegal alien does not serve a day for murder one. I can guarantee you. And that's why the American people are all frightened right now about this corrupt Democrat socialist machine that is ruining America's judicial system. What questions would you ask Hillary Clinton if you could ever get her to come out from hiding? Anybody have any good questions? I have such great callers right now, and I don't know who to take, truthfully. Matthew on WABC, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
you know, Dr. Savage, to get to the point, entrepreneurs, obviously, like you're saying, is being protected. You know, I used to work for a small little newspaper in Burnsville, North Carolina, and actually saw firsthand what a elected official, like a sheriff, can do to a town and hide its politics if it sees fit for them. And it's sad. It's really sad that it's come to that.
Well, we have a sheriff in San Francisco called Murky Kami, who was arrested on a domestic violence charge, served time, a very small amount of time, and now is sheriff again. What kind of city is this where the people look up to a sheriff in the city, and he's still sheriff after a case like that? This is the most lawless city in the United States of America, and it's not comedic anymore. You know, Matthew, stay in the line. I'm sending you a copy of my forthcoming bestseller, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture, where all holds are barred. They're taken off. All stops are pulled out. I have an 8,000-word chapter on Lenin's Pope, where the bouncer came from, how he became a priest, how he became a bishop, how he was handpicked to become the Pope, how the Pope is connected to Obama, how the Pope and Obama are connected to the entire Green Movement. 8,000 words on Lenin's Pope and Government Zero. Nobody has done what I've done in that book, and that's only one chapter of 10. It's 100,000 words. You're not going to want to miss it. If you've bought any of my books, and that would be a lot of people, this is the one you have to have. Government Zero, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. When I come back, we have another big hour right here on the Savage Nation. We'll talk about all the stories of the day, especially the debate. And I would advise Donald Trump to have not appeared. Of course, he didn't ask me, but I would tell him anyway. Don't appear. You don't need to be there with the Lilliputians. They're only being used as stooges to attack you by the liberal Republican and the Democrat Socialist establishment, Donald. You've got it made. It'll be you versus Bernie. Capitalism versus communism. 85-15. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The shortest straw has been pulled for you. Boy, does that say it all. That's what Obama's done to this nation. He's pulled the shortest straw for America and tells us America's great. That's why the country is melting down, because of this crazy man. Now, we have a debate tonight, and I've mentioned it over and over again ad nauseum, that the debate is not the issue. The issue is why Hillary refuses to debate. The issue is why the American people would vote for a Democrat when it is such an autocratic party that it will not debate anyone. Even their own party will not debate itself. What has she got to hide? Why are they permitting this yenta from New York, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, to prohibit Hillary Clinton from debating? Why will this faltering front runner, who is being protected by this yenta, why in the world will the Democrats ever vote for anyone like her again when she's got so much to hide? Why is it that a guy like even Martin O'Malley, who's as liberal as they come, wants to debate and they won't debate her? Why is it that Biden won't be allowed to debate her? Because she's got a lot to hide. She's got a lot to hide, and she knows that if anyone debated her, it would be all over. Why won't they have a debate between Bernie the Commie Sanders, O'Malley, Biden, Gore, and Hillary? Because she'd be knocked out in the first round. And now we look at the Republican debate, and we know what the RNC and the Better Business Bureau and the Club for Growth has done. They chose the most anti-American network, a laughably anti-American network, CNN, to hold a debate. And then they pick an unknown talk show host and a party hack stooge like Jake Tapper, who's a woodpecker on steroids, to ask the questions. So there's nothing we can do about it, other than I would have advised Donald Trump not to appear, because it's only going to be a witch hunt tonight. They're trying to set up a thing between Donald Trump and Ben Carson. The same people who ridiculed Ben Carson 3 weeks ago are now saying Ben Carson is God because they have black versus white. This is how racists operate. This is how the racist news network has made a living all along. If it burns, it earns. You get the picture. So they're doing the same thing tonight. They're all going to attack Trump. That's what Lilliputians will do. And I don't think Trump needed to be there. He's so far ahead, he shouldn't have shown up. Frankly, he should have pulled a Clinton on them. There should have been an empty slot so everyone could say, oh, look, Donald Trump's afraid of us. Then all the CNNites could say, look at that, Donald Trump wouldn't show up, he's afraid. But meanwhile, they'd be noticing Donald Trump and what he stands for. So let's analyze for a minute before I take your calls of what would you ask Hillary Clinton if you could ask her a question. What is it that Donald Trump stands for? What do we know he actually stands for? Many people say he's a flip-flopper. He's really a Democrat. He's for this, then he's against it, then he's this, and then he's that. Then why is he so popular? I mean, we've had other flip-floppers before who never had gained any traction. What is it about Donald Trump that has him gaining traction? I know him personally. I don't mean we have dinner together. I've told you, I have full disclosure, that I have a home in Florida, which I rarely go to, but when I do in the winter, I often go over to the Mar-a-Lago Club, of which I am a member, and it's often around Christmas time. And when it happens, which is once a year, I will inevitably run into Donald Trump. And I've had a few great conversations with him, and I think he's a wonderful man, frankly. I've met his family. I know things that, you know, I don't know why people don't talk about his incredible hiring policies. I don't know why they don't talk about his support for Israel. I don't know why they don't talk about any of these things. But I do know those are the reasons that he's hated by the GOP establishment and by the Democrats in particular, who hate Israel, voted against Israel, voted to shaft Israel, supported Obama as an attack on Israel. So you can understand the lobbying going on behind the scenes amongst the Democrats and the Republican sellouts against Trump. He wants to build a wall with Mexico. You can't say I'm against it. In 2007, I published a book, in, I think 2010, entitled Trickle Up Poverty. One of my platforms in my 17-point plan was build a wall with Mexico. Make the illegals build it, pay them union rates, and then repatriate them. It's right in my book. So it's not new to me. So many of the policies that Donald Trump is espousing came from my books. It's not that he got them from my books. I'm not saying that. Maybe he did. Maybe one of his aides read it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're not unique to me, but they're pretty well spelled out in my books more articulately than anyone else at the time. And wouldn't matter if they were my ideas. They're good ideas. They're American ideas. It's what most Americans want, which is why my books have been bestsellers. And so what they're doing to Donald Trump is something I'm very, very familiar with. Why am I very familiar with the attacks on Donald Trump, the names they're calling him? Because for 21 years, I've suffered in silence. Well, not in silence. I've suffered excommunication. I've suffered social being a social outcast, to be very honest with you. I have suffered in many ways you could never imagine. I've paid a very high price for my prominence and success. I'm not complaining. I'm not Glenn Beck. I'm not going to talk about his hemorrhoids. I'm not going to start crying about God. Don't expect that from me. I don't play that game. God's been very good to me. You know, every time I want to complain or whine, I think about what God's given me, not what he hasn't given me. That's all I can tell you. And when I do pray, I ask for a few things which I won't tell you about because you're not God. You're only my audience. I think a man's prayers are between him and God, no one else. But the thing is, I know what it's like to be unfairly attacked. I know what it's like to be called names. I know what it's like to be thrown out of the social order because your opinions don't mesh with those of the power structure. So what Donald Trump is saying is what the American people believe in a great majority. Even Democrats want the borders closed. Even Democrats want fair taxation. Even Democrats want the Muslim invasion stopped. Even Democrats want the illegal crime wave curtailed. So on that issue alone, he could become president, and I hope he does. He doesn't need many issues. The illegal alien crime wave unto itself is an issue to catapult him into the White House. New data shows a frightening toll of illegal immigrant criminals. It's beyond anything you could imagine. Drug trafficking, kidnapping, murder. All of these cases are enormous. In Florida, in Illinois, in Arizona, in California, we have the data. a rare window into the public data that was put together by Malia Zimmerman of Fox News, based on government data that has been hidden on the immigrant crime wave. And they say there are a lot of reasons states don't make this information readily available, and there is no clearinghouse of data at high levels. Oh, they said the federal government could tell you how many whites were busted for counterfeiting in any given year. They can tell you how many this, how many that, but they will not show you how many illegal immigrants have committed crimes in this country. According to the latest study, 55,000 illegal aliens are in federal prison and 296,000 in state and local lockups in 2011. Now, you know they've gone up since then, right? In 2014, ICE removed 315,000 criminal illegal immigrants nationwide, 85% of whom had previously been convicted of a criminal offense. But that same year, ICE released onto U.S. streets another 30,558 criminal illegal immigrants with a combined 79,000 criminal convictions, including, hold on to your hats, sanctuary city liberals, 86 homicides, 186 kidnappings, thousands of sexual assaults. They specialize in that. Domestic violence rampant in the community, and DUIs rampant in the community. So this is a story that's becoming prominent now only because of Donald Trump. And it's resonating even with moderates, even with Democrats. I have an 8,000-word chapter on this type of data in my own way in Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation going strong at hour number three. No one could believe it. They said I wouldn't last a day in radio. Well, now it's 21 years later. 250 stations later, I rose like a phoenix from the ashes to be with you tonight. And I wish the debates were on right now, but they're not. So we're doing the second or next best thing, which is asking you what you would ask Hillary Clinton if she would debate anybody. Now, isn't it ironic that all of a sudden they're asking fallen celebrities, unknown porn stars, I don't know who, what they would ask the Republicans tonight? It's stupid things that CNN does. But no one's asking, what would you ask Hillary Clinton? It's astounding. So I'm asking you what you would ask her. Then I've asked you, what is Trump's appeal? Why are independents supporting him? Why are even liberal Democrats supporting him? Women love him. By the way, women are swooning over him. That's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. You know, it's sort of a stereotype that women swoon. Well, they do. Women tend to relate to people in some ways more emotionally than men do. That's a reality. You don't like it, too bad, go to UC Berkeley. If you don't like what I'm saying, go enroll in UC Santa Cruz. If you don't like what I'm saying, go call up Janet Napolitano, because I realize you're being offended, and maybe you can sue me under a federal civil rights act for making you feel uncomfortable. But what is it about Trump? Why, women, why do you like Donald Trump? Can't be his hair. It's his guts. It's his guts, the willingness to stand up to the left-wing vermin. It's his guts, the willingness to stand up to the China lobbyists. It's his guts, his willingness to stand up to the illegal immigration mafia. It's his guts, willing to say things that put him at great risk. It's his guts to say the things that Americans are actually saying. That's what's going on. I wouldn't advise him to be there tonight because they're going to let it. Remember what they did last time? How they set the stage up where the camera was on the left, and they put him where you could hardly see him. Wait till you see what they do tonight. And wait till you see what Jake the Woodpecker does, and the unknown talk show host, the wannabe who no one ever heard of. What are you most least looking forward to in tonight's debate? Are you going to actually watch it? They're going to be very careful because everyone's going to expect a Megyn Kelly. And I'm sure if she could do it, Martha Washington would appear tonight on a competing network just to see if she could do it again and get the great ratings that she got before. I don't know what they're liable to do tonight. What are they going to ask him? Why do you hate immigrants? Oh, would you really build a wall, Mr. President? Come on, stupid questions. The people want the wall. The people want the illegal invasion stopped. The people don't want 100,000 Muslim refugees brought in from Syria. The people want China to stop screwing us. The people want tariffs against Chinese goods until they revalue their currency. I can give you a whole litany of what the people really want. It's what I do. It's my stock and trade. I have a fairly good idea of what you want. So let's go to the callers on what would you ask Hillary if she dare come out from behind Debbie Wasserman Schultz's shadow. WDRC Radio. Bill, welcome to the program. What would you ask Hillary if she'd stop hiding?
If I could ask Hillary something, I would ask her what her feelings are about the deal that President Obama has with Iran. And if it's consummated, what would she do if, God forbid, she is elected president, and how she would answer?
Well, there's a simple answer. She'd give you the smile, and she'd say why this is the greatest deal ever. It stops Iran from developing a nuclear weapon, and it's going to save the world from going to war. So you know the answer. It's a party line answer. It's a complete lie.
I understand that, but the American people are very much opposed to this. And if the American people hear...
Well, the American people is not as smart as her. The American people are not as smart as Barack Obama. You know that. They're smarter than everybody else. That's how they became... How could you not see that Obama's smarter than everybody if a man of his low caliber became president? How could you not see that? How could a man with such no qualifications become president twice? Because he's smarter than the rest of us. He knows how to game the system. He did to the presidential election what San Francisco politics did for the guy who allegedly beat his girlfriend. Bill, stay on the line. I'll send you a free copy of Government Zero the minute it's out. I hear they're coming in this week. Right now, they're only on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I cannot wait to get my hands on a copy. What would you ask Hillary Clinton? Bill asked, what would she do about the Iran deal? Let's go to KSFO, right here in the home of San Francisco. Mike on KSFO, what's on your mind? What's your question?
No, it was a comment basically about Trump. What people like, I think, is they just look at somebody like Trump, and he seems honest. Like these other guys, these other candidates, they just seem like, I don't know, like sneaky, like they're hiding something. Like they
And we haven't heard the word sneaky since Nixon disappeared from the scene.
Trump?
Would you say Hillary Clinton is evasive?
They just seem, I mean, they're beholden to their dumb.
Do you think Obama looks sneaky? Mike, can you hear me? Do you think Obama looks sneaky?
I don't want to even comment about that. But what I'm saying about Trump, he just...
Wait. Why would you want to comment on that?
I mean, honestly, I think he's a punishment to this country, if you ask me.
Okay. Well, that's well put. Very classy. Stay in the line. Government Zero goes out to you. No borders, no language, no culture, and what you can do about it. Yeah, he has been a punishment. He has been a direct punishment. You should hear the speech he gave today, attacking the Republican debaters tonight. After he says that presidential politics shouldn't be so negative, after saying that presidential politics shouldn't be so dark, after saying that presidential politics shouldn't be so partisan. Illegitimae non caberundum. I don't know my Latin because I didn't go to Catholic school, but I know some Latin because I went to botanical school. This is the Savage Nation.
In the echo chamber, that is presidential politics, everything is dark and everything is terrible. They don't seem to offer many solutions for the disasters that they perceive, but they're quick to tell you who to blame. I'm here to say that there's nothing particularly patriotic or American about talking down America, especially when we stand as one of the few sources of economic strength in the world. Despite the perennial doom and gloom that I guess is inevitably part of a presidential campaign, America's winning right now. America's great right now.
Really?
We can do even better.
We're losing against ISIS. We're losing against China. We're losing against Mexico. You know, I read that Nazi soldiers were high on meth during invasions. You say, what are you jumping to that for? I'm just thinking out loud. I read that there's a study came up that Nazi soldiers were high on meth during invasions. And I said, I wonder what drugs our politicians might be on. They've got to be on drugs, prescription and non-prescription. 50% of America is on something or other, right? So that means that a good percentage of these people are drug addicts. Nazi soldiers were high on meth-like drug, new book claims. Erwin Rommel. It's no secret that Adolf Hitler relied heavily on drugs. But we know that the soldiers themselves relied on pharmacological helpers. Pervitin contained a form of methamphetamine similar to today's crystal meth. Invented in 1937, used in a German energy drink, intended to rival Coca-Cola before the war. They get a twofer out of that. They attack energy drinks. The Germans use this stuff. Interest to soldiers. Keeps you awake for a long time. Played a major role in the success of the Blitzkrieg that destroyed France in a matter of weeks. I wonder what drugs some of our politicians might be on. In fact, the drug was so successful that British and American soldiers began using amphetamines later in the war to keep up. That's an interesting fact unto itself. It's an argument for it, I guess, if you're at war. But that's neither here nor there. The question is, how could Obama get away with what he gets away with unless most in the media are drugged out of their minds and don't even listen to him? I can't believe that he'd come out and attack the Republicans before the debate and not even understand that he was criticizing himself by what he was saying. Could you imagine what it would be like to wake up when Trump, if Trump wins, let's say he wins. Can you imagine what you would feel the next morning after 2016? Let's look ahead for a minute. Let's just go ahead together. I remember I have a famous picture of myself on a boat I rented for a party in 2008 when the imposter was foisted upon us. And it's of me sitting dejectedly on a couch in the lower part of the ship with my dog, Teddy. And my shoulders are slumped. I'm leaning forward in a black raincoat, a black hat. And the title of the picture is The Night We Lost America. That was in 2008 when the imposter was foisted upon us by the foreign powers that are now eating us alive. That's a full paragraph. The night that America lost when this imposter was foisted upon us by foreign, actually I should say foreign and domestic powers. I mean, if you look at what Silicon Valley is trying to do to this country for cheap labor, it's frightening. When you look at what Microsoft is doing to make sure that the floodgates remain open so that out of the millions of illegal aliens, they can cull out a few thousand cheap laborers in their IT departments. See what I'm saying? A guy like this, Zuckerberg, understands one thing, the bottom line only. He doesn't look at what it's doing to the country. He doesn't look at the lives he's devastating amongst domestic IT workers. He could care less firing a guy making 70 or 80 an hour to replace him with someone making 35 an hour. All he knows is there's more undershirts for him. That's how he adds it up. It's like a squirrel with little acorns. He's that. You think these people are that much smarter than you? Some of them are smart, but they're not as visionary as you may think. Some of them are very lucky. Some of them are very lucky, and they have no vision whatsoever. And that's what governments are for, which is to rein in people like this who put profit before the nation. That's right. You hear what I just said? People who just put profit before everything else are the destructive force that we've got to worry about. And that includes politicians, by the way. People who put party above nation, like the Democrat socialist Islamist machine that refuses to permit Hillary Clinton to debate other Democrats. If that doesn't indicate to you she's got a lot to hide, I don't know what will. And we're all waiting for the debate to begin, and you'll hear others talk about it as they should. And then tonight the debate will be the actual, you know, fight. Some of us will watch. I think I'll watch this one. I couldn't watch it last time. After Martha Washington asked that loaded question of Donald Trump, I turned it off. I was on to her a long time ago. I saw through her good looks. She's a good-looking lady. I'm not going to knock it. I'm going to say no, you know. But you know and I know how vicious she is. I don't like vicious. Intelligence, yes. Cutting, yes. Insightful, yes. Sarcastic, yes. Vicious, no. And the giveaway from Martha Washington, you know her as Megyn Kelly. I know her actual name. The giveaway for it was right, listen to me carefully, you've not heard this before except for me. Right after the Republican debate last time, who did Megyn Kelly interview to show you the fixes in with Roger Ailes? Who did she talk to? Who out there knows who she interviewed immediately after the debates? none other than Hillary Clinton's gatekeeper, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And she sat there like a schoolgirl, asking Debbie Wasserman Schultz everything under the sun about what she thought about the debate. Now, if that didn't show you that the fix is in from Fox News onward, I'd like to know what did. I saw that. I reported it. Because remember, I'm not a reporter like the Wall Street Journal reporter. I am not a journalist. I'm an observer and a commentator. Luckily for you, I have great scholarly training, so I can analyze things quickly and succinctly describe what conclusions I come to, which is why you're listening. In addition to having a God gift for communication, I also have God's gift of a very quick ability to analyze things and succinctly describe them to you on the run with no script. So I do that. And now we're sitting here watching a nation trying, hoping to God it can save itself from the scourge of Barack Obama and his radical leftist fanatical policies before the term is up. And Trump is saying the opposite of what Obama's done to the country. The exact opposite, because Trump cares for America. Trump also knows something that Obama doesn't know. See, here's the fundamental crux of it. Trump is a capitalist by inherent training, by his father, by Wharton School. Obama's a communist by inheritance and by learning. So their thinking is 100% different. Everything Obama does is through the lens of attacking the bourgeoisie. Whether he knows it or not, his optic chiasma is warped. So everything he sees is through a warped pair of glasses. Anything he could do to hurt the middle class, he does. So he opens the borders, decimates the language, denies that there's a culture that defines America. Trump is the opposite. Wants to build a wall to stop the invasion from the Southlands. Wants to stop the flood of Muslim refugees from the Middle East. Wants to protect Christians in the Middle East. Wants to restore Christianity and religion in America. Wants to restore, in other words, the cultural foundation of this nation. Wants to make order out of disorder. Wants to make sense out of nonsense. Because he understands one thing, that would be good for business. It would make America great again when you think about it. In other words, if Trump's policies were enacted, it would be good for business, not bad for business. It would be very bad for guys like Microsoft, guys who own Microsoft, guys who own Facebook. It would be very bad for them. They may have to, they'd have to pay fair share of taxes. They wouldn't be able to get away with keeping their money overseas and using double Irish and double Irish tax scams to pay almost nothing in income taxes. You know, you as a worker know that your federal tax rate's 39% if you're in the upper brackets. California, the tax rate's 39 plus 13 or 15. That's what they're taking from us. Higher than most socialist countries. Stealing our earnings. Now, if the roads were good, I'd say, okay, I'm getting something for my money. You go drive in San Francisco on Lombard Street. You go drive on the road leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge. You think that you're in some banana republic somewhere in the 1950s. It's astounding what they've done to the state. They've sucked the money right up to the top and distributed it amongst their donors. Wait, so put that on the side. We want this country to be great again. We want the potholes filled. We want ISIS decimated, annihilated. We want them off the planet. We want their weapons taken away. Most of their weapons are our weapons, which they seized. For example, when they seized Mosul, they got a lot of our tanks. Do you know that those bastards are driving M1A Abrams tanks? Did you know that? When they seized Mosul, they took our tanks. Some of the greatest battle tanks in the world are in the hands of these Islamo-fascist throwbacks. Do you know that? Yeah, they're getting very powerful and very dangerous, and Obama is doing very little, if anything. Nothing. He could have bombed them when they took over Mosul. He could have taken out their convoy. He did nothing. He's letting them rage. He won't help Jordan fight them. He won't help Egypt fight them. He will not help the Kurds fight them. So which side is he actually on? Well, we know which side Trump will be on. We saw him posing yesterday on the Iowa underneath those 16-inch guns. And I got emails from war veterans who are so encouraged all over again to make America great again. When they saw Donald underneath those 16-inch guns, something resonated in them. Something said we just might be able to save the country before it's too late. We just might be able to get out from underneath the vampire in the White House. Well, on those encouraging positive words, I will take a quick break and be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, Barack Obama, the Democrat Party, and the establishment Republicans are all in it together. As you well know, it began, as most moves towards communism have, in the schools, and it took a century to commandeer our educational system from grade schools to our universities. That's what he's done, and the people know it. They may not be able to articulate it as well as I just did, but you know that his administration has tightened its hold on Americans' freedoms by imposing limits on everything from political speech to gun ownership to running a business to how we educate our children. Instead of reinforcing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, Obama's government hacks have invaded our privacy, censored the media, as no administration in our history has ever done, and confiscated and redistributed our wealth in the form of killing taxes. Stalin had his re-education camps. Obama's got the U.S. educational system and the media in his hands. Changes laws, makes laws unilaterally. Compliant Congress sits quietly and does nothing. Not a whimper of regret or opposition to of any substance coming from Congress. You watch their power usurped by another branch. You would think they would fight against him, but they haven't. I don't have to read the litany of what he has done to this country, what he intends to do before he's out of office. He's opened the floodgates to an invasion from Mexico unlike any ever seen. But if that wasn't bad enough, I mean, you could argue, if you wanted to stretch the argument, that at least the Central Americans are in the North America, are in the continent. And at least you can say there's some ancestral claims to some of the southern lands. You could stretch that amount to that if you wished. And you could say that there's enough of a cultural similarity between many of these individuals and those in the country that who knows, one day there may be integration. But you can't say the same about the 100,000 Muslims he wants to bring in from Africa and the Middle East. That is being done for one reason and one reason only, and that is because Brussels and Washington are on the same page with regard to this, which is to homogenize the world, to pit race against race, religion against religion, man against woman, woman against man, for one reason. Where do people turn in times of strife? They turn to a government for salvation. And so these crazed demons in these high places just simply want to aggrandize more power, and the only way to do that is to make people frightened, pit them against each other. When you flood America with 100,000 Muslims from Africa, from the Middle East, Muslims, by the way, that Muslims in Saudi Arabia will not take in. Pay attention, all of you racists out there who are quick to throw the racist word at me. Attention, racist liberals. Attention, racist shoppers. This message is for you. We have a special on the truth right now in the Savage Nation. Racist liberals, pay attention. Muslims in Saudi Arabia have 100,000 air-conditioned tents sitting in the desert. Air-conditioned, movie theaters, lavatories. They will not permit one refugee to come in from Syria or Africa. Attention, liberal racist shoppers. Why is it that Saudi Arabia will not let them in? Because they're a threat to the social order. They'll overthrow the country. And so why would Obama want to bring them in? Because they're a threat to the social order, they'll overthrow the country. Which makes it good for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Hillary Clinton, and the others in the illegitimate, corrupt Democrat Party machine. Period. I don't have to add to that. I don't have to exaggerate what I see to be true. That's why Trump is surging. Now, tonight, of course, you're going to see them try to trip him up. He's too smart for that. And I will argue when the turning point of the American Civil War really began. I will say we're in a civil war. I will say that Obama has conducted a civil war from the day he entered the office. But he is so clever. He and the globalist party are so smart that they've not fired a single shot, have they? Instead, they got minorities to burn Baltimore to the ground. Instead, they got minorities to almost burn Ferguson to the ground. Instead, they got a street rat like Al Sharpton to tell us we need a federalized police force. And now there's a war against white police. Every other day we seem to read about a white policeman being executed somewhere in America. And guess who's killing them? It's an embarrassing statement, you racist liberals, but you did it. You did it. You caused this war on the police. And of course, there's only one man, one sheriff who can come along on a white horse and save us. And it's not Debbie Wasserman Schultz Clinton. It's the Savage Nation.